Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and the message tonight is anointed with heaven's ability. Anointed with heaven's ability. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And that's verse 1. And now skip down to verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions round about. I'll skip over to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Many of you know this by heart. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Even Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, needed to be anointed. Did you hear what I just said? Even Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, needed to be anointed. Message tonight is anointed with heaven's ability. I want you to know tonight that you are anointed with heaven's ability. And just like Jesus needed to be anointed, you need to be anointed. Being anointed is a repetitive thing. It's not something that just happens once. Getting saved, you get saved once in most cases. I mean, unless somebody backslides. But getting saved, you get saved once. But getting anointed, you get anointed repeatedly. Over and over. In Acts chapter 2, they were anointed with the Holy Ghost. Then in Acts chapter 4, verse 29, they prayed and they were anointed with the Holy Ghost again. Then in Acts 13, 52, it says they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So they were anointed a third time. The anointing, let me tell you, give you a definition here of the anointing. The anointing is the smearing or rubbing off of something. See, that's something that takes time in the presence of God. The anointing is the smearing or rubbing off of something. The anointing is the consecration to an office. When somebody gets called into ministry, there's an anointing that comes on their lives to operate in that office. That's why somebody who's not called to the fivefold ministry, there's not the anointing on their life to operate in that office. There's an anointing in that person's life to operate in what God has called them to do. God's got an anointing for everything. In Exodus chapter 33 and 34, the people of Israel were anointed for skilled craftsmanship and wisdom to build the temple. The anointing of God came on them. So the anointing of God comes on you for whatever God has called you to do, spiritual or non-spiritual. I'm telling you, if you're an apostle that God's called to raise the dead, God's anointed you to raise the dead. And if you're a mechanic that God's called to work on diesel trucks, if you're a secretary that God's called to answer the phone, then God has anointed you to work on diesel trucks. God has anointed you to answer the phone. If you're a mother God is called to raise a family, then God has anointed you to raise that family. He has anointed you to know when the son or the daughter's telling you the truth or not. You'll be able to see right through that. God's anointed you. Hallelujah. The anointing is the smearing or the rubbing off of something. It's a consecration to an office. And thirdly, the anointing is the breaking through of the Spirit of God onto natural man. Thirdly, the anointing is the breaking through of the Spirit of God onto natural man. So the Holy Ghost will come and anoint you. The Holy Ghost will break through like He has tonight to touch people. And what happens? You get anointed. When you get anointed, something has been smeared and rubbed onto you. God has consecrated you to something when you get anointed like you have gotten anointed tonight. When the Lord ministers to you, when the Holy Ghost breaks through from the realm of the Spirit into the realm of the natural to touch your life, you get anointed. And God has given you consecration and ability and anointing to carry out the call on your life, whatever that is. God has an anointing for you to do that. You don't have to bear the burden all on your own. You don't have to lift the weight of that load. If you say, well, I'm not a preacher. I work a secular job. All the more, you don't have to bear the weight of that secular job, of that employment on your own, in your natural ability. God has given you an anointing to operate in that. Hallelujah. You don't have to walk. Of course, we do walk in this natural realm, but we don't walk by the laws of this natural realm. You walk in this natural realm, but you walk by the laws of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Can you say amen tonight? So the anointing is the smearing or rubbing off of something. It's a consecration to an office. It's the breaking through of the Spirit of God onto natural man. The first thing I want to tell you tonight about the anointing must be received. You have to receive it. You have to open your heart and you have to receive it. When God is touching people, when the Holy Ghost is ministering, you have to make a conscious decision that I'm going to receive what God is doing. Because you can reject the moving of the Spirit of God. There can be somebody standing and sitting in a Holy Ghost service, in a service where the Holy Ghost is ministering and touching the lives of people. One person right there will get touched and their life will be radically changed, and the person right next to them won't receive anything. Why? Because it's a heart issue. You have to receive the anointing when God is anointing people, when the Holy Ghost is moving. You have to receive that by opening your heart and saying, Lord, touch me. I am hungry, Lord, for your touch. I am hungry, Lord, for a fresh anointing. Lord, I want more of you. The anointing has to be received. The anointing has to be received into your heart. It's not received by information. It is received by impartation. Oh, that is so good. The anointing is not received by information. It is received by impartation. Now, the impartation can come through information. I'm not speaking against the teaching of the Word because I'm teaching you right now. But the anointing comes by impartation. And there's something that I think is a little awry among the church today, not here at Calvary Cathedral, but the church at large, that we want information, but we don't want change. And it's like Paul said in his epistle that in the end times, people heaping unto themselves teachers, and they have itching ears. And people want to hear information. People want to hear even Christian information, but they don't want to change. You know what? You cannot receive the anointing without changing. You cannot receive a fresh anointing from God. You cannot receive a fresh impartation from the Holy Ghost without changing. Hallelujah. That's why receiving the anointing takes place through impartation, not information alone. I think really that the devil can throw a religious thing against the church today that just says you can just heap up all the information that you can possibly imagine about Christianity, but there's no impartation taking place. Without the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, there is no impartation taking place. If we block, and it's not happening here, but if the body of Christ blocks, and when the body of Christ blocks the Holy Ghost out of their church services, I'm telling you, there is no impartation that takes place. It's weaned down to a very, very little trickling stream rather than a rushing mighty river of the Holy Ghost. Because the anointing is transferred by the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's why it's so important that we have hunger for Him when we come to these services. That's why it's so important that we throw the door wide open in every single service. Lord, touch me in this service. Regardless of who's preaching, regardless of if they sing my favorite songs or if they don't sing my favorite songs, regardless of whether I was able to give a lot of money or wasn't able to give a lot of money, Lord, touch me in this service. The anointing is transferred by the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And the devil wants to block the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He wants to just have Spirit-filled doctrine and all of these things, but no manifestation. But the anointing is transferred by the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The spirit of religion wants us to get so pumped up and full of religious information that we neglect impartation. The religious spirit. I'm telling you, the devil has an assignment against every move of God. Every move of God that you'll ever see that takes place, that there's a religious devil tagging along that move of God, making notes and figuring out, how can I go and deceive the people so they won't want this, or they'll think that it's not legitimate. And what the devil wants to do is get us so pumped and full of religious information that we neglect impartation and we stay powerless. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be powerless. I want breakthrough. Hallelujah. The anointing is the breaking through of the Spirit of God onto natural man. That's why everywhere Jesus went, it was like lightning exploding off of his person everywhere that he went. I'm telling you, when he went back to the land of Gennesaret where the woman with the issue of blood was healed, they were touching the hem of his garment and everybody that touched him was healed. I'm telling you, the power of the Holy Ghost was breaking through off of him because he was anointed by the Spirit of God. You know what? We can get too settled in what we've done in the past. We can get too settled in the fact that we were used by God and we've done certain things. If you've been a believer or been in the ministry for 10, 15, 20 years, I've done this and I've seen blind eyes open and I've done and get to where we're complacent in regards to the anointing and the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We really can. We can get to where we're satisfied with what has happened, but if you examine your life right now, what has taken place in your heart? What is taking place in your ministry right now? I want to ask you that question again. Are you satisfied with what's happened in the past? And what is taking place in your heart? And what is taking place in your ministry right now? When you get up and preach, those of you that are in the ministry, when you get up and preach, what happens when you get up and preach? Is it like when Jesus got up and preached and they were astounded at the power and the authority by which he spoke because he wasn't like the scribes? Hallelujah. We always got to be hungry for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We always have to be hungry for more. The anointing has to be received. The anointing doesn't take place in our lives or in our ministries or in any facet of our lives just by default. It's not going to happen. Hallelujah. The anointing's not going to take place in our lives or in our ministries just by default. It's not going to take place just because we showed up. It's not going to take place just because we're there. But you've got to have your heart open for the manifestation and the touch of the Spirit of God. And say, Lord, rub onto me. Spirit of God, pour into me. And get that anointing on your life. The anointing has to be received. Hallelujah. Religious people want information, but they don't want change. John chapter 5, verse 39. I want you to turn and read this here. It's really interesting what Jesus said. John 5, verse 39. Jesus is talking here with the religious people, and he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think. Now, you have to understand, this King James was written several hundred years ago. So when we would read this, it almost sounds like Jesus is saying, "Ha, you fool, you think that eternal life is found in the scriptures." But that's not what Jesus was saying here. He was saying, you know. Just change that word from think to know, and this will read a lot better. John 5, verse 39. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you know you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So you know the scriptures have eternal life in them. They testify of Jesus. But look in verse 40. And he says, but you will not come to me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. So here he's pointing out that people can search the scriptures. But if we don't come to Jesus, and I'm not talking to you this evening about getting saved because I know that you're born again. But if we don't come and get that fresh anointing, then there's not change taking place. You can have a mental understanding of the scripture. But if the scripture is not revelation in your life, if the scripture has not been burned into your heart by the Holy Ghost, if the anointing of God is not transferred onto your life by the Spirit of God, then what you know in your mind is not manifesting in your life. Jesus is saying that right here. Do you see what he's pointing out? He says, you search the scriptures, but you are not willing to come to me. Oh, what a sad state of affairs that is. People that know the Word, like I said several weeks ago, there are university professors that know the Bible. They've searched the Scriptures, but they have not been willing to come to Jesus, to Christ, the Anointed One, and get anointed and get a fresh anointing on their lives. You search the Scriptures, but you are not willing to come to me. So it's not knowledge that we need, but it's impartation. Hallelujah. Be careful of knowledge of the Word without the revelation of the Word, as we just read here. The anointing is received through the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, the laying on of hands, prophecy, and apprenticeship. If you just turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 29, I want you to see this here, how the anointing is transferred. The anointing is received through the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in Acts 4, 29. It's transferred on to the disciples again. And I know you know this scripture, Acts 4, 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hands to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So the Holy Ghost is the anointing is transferred by the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The anointing is transferred by the laying on of hands in 1 Timothy 4:14. You don't have to go there. In 1 Timothy 4:14 and 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul talks to Timothy and says, "Stir up the gift of God that is on the inside of you by the laying on of my hands." So by the laying on of hands, the anointing is transferred from one person into another. The anointing is transferred from the Holy Ghost in a service into somebody by the laying on of hands in prophecy. Prophecy is speaking the word. Prophecy is speaking the word of God. Whether it's the Logos word or the Rhema word, prophecy is speaking the word. And the anointing is transferred through that. And the anointing is also transferred through apprenticeship. Acts 16, verses 1 through 3. Let's turn there real quick. Acts 16, verses 1 through 3. It says, then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium, whom Paul would have, verse here in verse 3, whom Paul would have go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were there in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was Greek. So Paul here takes Timothy to travel with him. So the anointing from Paul was transferred into Timothy through apprenticeship. Hallelujah. So there's four ways that the anointing is transferred. If you're hungry for God, and I hope that you are, you can get the anointing to increase in your life by having hands laid on you, by having people prophesy the word onto you through the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, and by locking yourself into somebody that's spiritually stronger than you are and being an apprentice underneath them. Hallelujah. That's why the anointing is the smearing and the rubbing off of something. If you want to really catch something, you got to put some time into it and let what's on somebody else rub off onto you. That's how Elisha got anointed from Elijah. He spent time with Elijah. That's one thing that we have to be careful of is, are we willing to spend time to serve the man or the woman of God? Are we willing to spend time and do the simple tasks, to do the menial things, to do the small things? I'm telling you, when pastor asks you to go sweep the carpet, do you do it with a good attitude? Or are you thinking, oh, I can't believe that I've got to do this. I'm above this, you know? I'm telling you, you want to travel in the ministry. I've cleaned out toilets and I remember having to remove the sewage out of our RV trailer, and that was sick. You talk about a nasty job, having to take the black water tank from an RV trailer and go empty it in the sewage, and the thing spills all over the place. You see things, I'm stopping right there. Don't use your imagination on that. Just stop with me. You talk about a gross job. But see, you want to talk about the anointing on the ministry. You know, you got to be willing to do some things like that and to go get anointed and do whatever the man or the woman of God asks you to do. I have a little bit of concern about younger people in the ministry, you know, teenagers that get called of God into the ministry and they want to embrace the ministry. But I don't know, do you really see the fire and the willingness in them to go and do whatever is asked of them? It doesn't mean you got to just go kill yourself. It's not a suicidal call. But willing to do whatever is asked and apprentice underneath that, because there's been a price that's been paid. When you talk about the anointing that is on pastor's life, there is a price that has been paid for that. The anointing just doesn't, like I said, it's not just given there. It's not just taken for granted. It just doesn't happen all by itself. But there's a price that is paid for somebody to have an anointing on their life. They bore the heat of the day. That's why Elijah, when he went and found Elisha, he just didn't go up and pamper him and say, hey, Elisha, I'll give you $80,000 a year to come and work for me and make it all easy. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay salary. Don't get me wrong. But Elijah was hardcore, man. I mean, that guy didn't play around with Elisha. He didn't make it easy for him. Elijah had paid a hard price for the anointing that was on his life. Hallelujah. So Elisha had a decision to make. Am I willing to do this? And I like what it says about Elisha when Elijah found him, that he was plowing behind 12 yoke of oxen. You know, that's 24 oxen right there. He was plowing behind 12 yoke of oxen. He had 24 oxen there yoked up. I don't know what that guy was plowing. But you know how many prophets would have quit right at that point? Elijah didn't go to the sons of the prophets. There was a school of the prophets back in those days. Elijah didn't go there. They were all prophesying and they all knew things and they were all following the activity and commenting and all of this. But it was the guy that was over there that was plowing behind 24 oxen through literal solid rock. I don't know if they had a concrete highway they had to, he had to plow through or what. But that guy was serious about what he was doing. Nothing was going to stop Elisha from doing what God had called him to do. And whatever he was plowing it, the Bible never even says what he was plowing through. How insignificant was that? But I'm telling you, the thing that you are working on right now that seems so insignificant, you think, how in the world could this possibly matter anything in the kingdom of God? There's going to come a day when the anointing is going to show up at your door. And if you're faithful with that insignificant sheep in the backside of the desert, then the huge anointing's going to get dropped on your life. But there is a price that is paid for that anointing, and it has to be received. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The anointing must be developed. Elisha developed the anointing that was on his life. Saul didn't develop the anointing. You don't have to turn there unless you want to, but 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Saul was anointed, and the Bible says that he was changed into another man. He was changed into another man, and his heart changed, the Bible says. So Saul had the anointing of God on his life, but he did not develop the anointing, and he lost it. So the anointing has to be developed. You can read later on, I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 16 or 17, where he lost the anointing. It says, an evil spirit from the Lord came and tormented Saul, because the spirit of God came from Saul and went on to David when Samuel had anointed David. So Saul lost the anointing that God had placed on his life. I'm telling you, you do not want to be in that position. Because if the spirit of God leaves you, there's probably another spirit, an evil spirit, that is just waiting to come and get in on the fun in your life. You don't want to play with the things of God. But you have to develop the anointing that is on you. Saul didn't develop the anointing that God gave him. He played around with it. He was fickle with the anointing of God. He didn't develop it. The anointing has to be received and the anointing has to be developed. What God's doing in your life has to be developed. Hallelujah. Samson lost the anointing on his life. You know that story. You can't take for granted the anointing that God has put on you. You can't take for granted the anointing that is here in this room right now. You can't take for granted the anointing, those of you who had hands laid on you this morning in the service and this evening in the service, you can't take for granted the anointing that is being poured out into your life. Samson took that anointing for granted. Saul took that anointing for granted. Samson just, he bartered it away because he married the wrong girl and wanted to please her, and finally she wore him down. He took the anointing for granted. If you want to develop the anointing, if you want to have a strong anointing on your life that affects your ministry, that affects your life, that affects your business, that affects your family, then you've got to guard the anointing of God on your life. I made a decision back in the mid-90s. I graduated from a public school, but in junior high, I went to a Christian school here in town. I wish I had the chance to come to the academy, but I didn't at that time. I graduated from another Christian school, and it was a Baptist school. So 6 or 7 years later, I'm preaching. I'm in the ministry, and I get a call from somebody I knew at this school about their chapel, asking me to come and do a chapel. And I said, okay, well, let me get back with you on that. And I called him, and I don't remember how it transpired, but I remember thinking, okay, I've got a decision to make, because I know that this particular denomination and that church, because I went to school there, hates the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and the gifts of the Spirit. And God's already was already using me in those things. I'd already seen people get healed, and I was not withholding anything, and I never was going to. And I made a decision right there. I was like, I'm going to let them know that this is the way it's going to be. I mean, if they're going to have me come and preach in their school chapel, then there's going to be tongues, there's going to be gifts of healing, I'm going to lay hands on people, I'm going all out from the book of Acts. And it never transpired enough for there to be an issue. But ever since then, I've had a consecration in my ministry that I will never, ever back down. Why? Because I value the anointing. If you grieve the Holy Ghost in your life, 1 Thessalonians, where is that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 6, it's in there, says, grieve not the Holy Ghost. If you grieve, you can grieve the Holy Ghost that's on your life and the anointing that's on your life and lose what God has put there. If you play games with what God has put on your life, you can grieve the Spirit of God. And I made a decision that I was never going to consciously grieve the Holy Ghost. I would never get up in a pulpit and grieve the Spirit of God. I would never get up and minister anywhere where they wouldn't let me flow in the Holy Ghost and in healing and manifest the Spirit of God. See, I've guarded the anointing on my life. And Samuel did the same thing when God anointed Samuel. You can read later on when he was in Ramah. Let me see where that is. It's 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18. Samuel was in Ramah, and the glory of God was so strong, David was running from Saul. Saul was coming after David to try to kill him, but the glory of God was so strong on Samuel when he was there in Ramah that they sent men after David, and they came and got within the presence of God that was on Samuel in Ramah, and they began to prophesy, and they fell down before the Lord and began to prophesy. A second time, Saul sent men after David to go kill him, and they got in within the glory of God, within a certain physical proximity of that anointing, and they fell down and began to prophesy. And then Saul himself says, I've had enough of this. So he himself goes after David to try to kill him there at Ramah. David is there at Ramah with Samuel, who has developed the anointing on his life. It wasn't like Saul, who didn't develop it. He wasn't like Samson, that didn't develop it and took it casually, but Samuel developed the anointing that was on his life. And Saul himself comes with murder in his heart, with rebellion in his heart, witchcraft in his heart, and a sword in his hand ready to kill, and he couldn't touch David because the anointing of God was so strong there, because Samuel had developed the anointing that was on his life. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the anointing. You're anointed with heaven's ability. You don't have to live life. You do have to live life in this world, but not according to this world. You can live life here in the earth at a higher plane. Every single one of you. You say, David, I'm not a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're not a preacher. Every single one of you in this place tonight, you can develop the anointing of God on your life and live at a higher plane. Hallelujah. You can be the person that's anointed at work, and when they're handing out promotions, you're the one who gets the promotion because there's an anointing of God on your life. You can be the person that is anointed in the workplace that whatever your hand touches prospers, like it was said of Joseph. Hallelujah. You can walk in that anointing and you can develop the anointing of God on your life. Hallelujah. You are anointed with heaven's ability tonight. Can you say amen? Samuel developed the anointing of God on his life and he became unstoppable. Grieve not the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. The anointing can reside on physical things. The anointing, Jesus, in Mark chapter 5, when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, virtue went out of his body. When Peter walked along those streets, as you know, his shadow began to heal people. Peter's shadow healed people. In Acts chapter 19, handkerchiefs were taken from Paul and they healed people. So the anointing can reside on natural, carnal things. The anointing can reside on you. The anointing can reside on your physical body. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm hungry to see the anointing of God reside here in this sanctuary where people that are blind come in and their eyes pop open during praise and worship. Hallelujah. Where the anointing of God's so strong here in the sanctuary that people come in wheelchairs and they walk out pushing the wheelchair. Where healings are easy once again. It's the anointing of God. It's the anointing of God. When we develop the anointing, it will build up, take up residence on physical things. You can get so close and be so faithful to the Spirit of God that the anointing begins to reside in your physical body. Well, David, that's craziness. Well, Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 21, you remember this story when he was dead. He was dead and his bones, his flesh had decayed off of his body and there's nothing left of Samuel, but Elisha there, but his bones. And somebody came along and they were in a hurry and so they just threw a dead man down in his grave. And that man quickened and became alive. He raised from the dead just like that because the anointing of God that resided in Elisha's bones. The anointing can take up residency on a physical thing. That's why Pastor has always said that there's an anointing up here in the pulpit, that it's been easy to preach here in this church. Why? Because there is an anointing that has taken up residency here in these properties and in this sanctuary. That's why in 93, during the revival, there was a fire that came up over the dome and the firemen began to show up because they had calls about the place being on fire because the anointing was so strong because we were spending day after day, 6 days a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, all the way through Friday morning and Friday night for 4.5 weeks, just spending time in the presence of God, growing and developing the anointing of God. Hallelujah. And it shook the city to the core. I remember that, to turn my life around. The anointing was developed. You see, we can get hung up on information and miss the impartation of the anointing. We can get, and there's busyness that can take place through religious information, and we think we're making progress. And I'm not saying that you're not making any progress, but the progress that God has for you through the impartation of the anointing is far greater, far more glorious than the lack of the impartation, than just getting hung up on information, religious information. The anointing can tangibly reside on you. The anointing is heaven's ability in your life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen tonight? The anointing is heaven's ability. With the anointing, we live in the natural realm, but we are not subject to live according to the natural realm. Hallelujah. It's heaven's ability on everything that God has called you to do. The anointing is heaven's ability on everything that God has called you to do. Without it, you can't do everything God has called you to do. I'm going to say that again. Without the anointing, you cannot do everything God has called you to do. Turn to Acts chapter 19, verse 13. You should be near there. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Take a look at some guys that tried to do something without the anointing. Hallelujah. I should just start in verse 11. Well, go to verse 10. We'll start there. This is in Ephesus, one of Paul's mightiest revivals. And this continued, this revival continued by the space of 2 years, so that all those which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God brought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Verse 13, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So here they tried to do something without the anointing. You have to have the anointing to do everything that God has called you to do. Without the anointing of God on your life, you will miss things that God has called you to do. And people do that every day. And people come up with religious excuses on why it didn't work. And religious excuses on, well, it wasn't God's timing. I'll get healed in the sweet by and by. No, it's God's healing, God's timing for you to be healed right now, praise God. Hallelujah. It's God's timing for you to be healed right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The anointing is heaven's ability on your life. It's God's timing right now, church. It's God's timing right now for His glory to be poured out here at Calvary Cathedral in such a degree that we can't handle all the people that are showing up. You want to see increase take place? You see God's anointing get so strong in here that people walk in the doors and they feel like they just bumped head on into Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. The same anointing that God anointed Jesus with in Luke chapter 4 when I started this message, God is anointing you with right now. God is anointing this house with right now. And that's how it's going to take place when we receive the anointing and we develop the anointing and we begin to see that thing, anointing, take residence here at Calvary Cathedral and take up residence in your life, praise God. You want to see increase that cannot be stopped? Then get anointed by the Holy Ghost and get hungry for the Spirit of God and let that begin to grow on the inside of you. Praise God. It's the same Spirit of God that quickened Jesus and raised Him from the dead that God is anointing you with. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's heaven's ability on everything that God has called you to do. With it, you operate in power that is above this world and not of this world. Hallelujah. The anointing empowers you to do spiritual and non-spiritual things. Thank you, Jesus. You are anointed with heaven's ability. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are anointed with heaven's ability. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight?